Hello and welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Hello, explorers. It's that time again. Wanderlust Wonder on See the World with Ajala Nene. You already know where we're going to dive into. Another stunning tourist destination. Get ready to add this one to your travel bucket list. Our spotlight today is Ibenu Beach, Akwa Ibom State. So this soft golden sand, the rhythmic dance of the waves, and the longest coastline in Nigeria. Ibenu Beach is pure bliss. Whether you're chasing the sunrise, riding the waves, or simply sinking your toes into the warm sand, this coastal paradise in Akwa Ibom promises a refreshing escape. It's not just a beach, it's a vibe. Sun, sand, and serenity. Ibenu Beach is the ultimate coastal getaway. So when next you need to feel the ocean breeze, you know where to go, don't you? So catch you on the next Wanderlust Wonder. Let's stay tuned. No, welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene. And today I have one of my big brothers in the tourism space. We call him Tony Gray because of his white fine beards. Mazi Tony, as I normally call you. Welcome, sir. No.
Thank you very much, Dalu. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being here. I'm honored to actually have you because I know you're a very busy man.
It's a pleasure to always support
you. Thank you. Tony Okachukwu is an aviator consultant and management professional with over 18 years experience in travel and tourism. He has demonstrated resourcefulness and driven efficiency by providing strategic people leadership for hospitality and innovation businesses in emerging markets. Tony is the publisher and chief sustainability officer of Aviators Africa, a media integrated marketing and consulting company that serves the travel and tourism industry, and the organizer of the annual African Aviator Sustainability Conference and Awards. He's also the founder of Walk for Love Africa, a pioneer initiative of Anthony Okachukwu Foundation, which seeks to promote a sustainable intra-Africa travel, tourism, and trade. That's a very rich bio, sir.
Thank you very much.
Guys, I know why we're laughing. So, Mr. Tony, why tourism and why aviation? Because I know you really focus on the aviation part. I know you do travel, tourism, but aviation is like your thing. That's what we all know you for. Why that aspect?
I stumbled into aviation.
It was always in the stumbled.
Yes. Because in this part of the world, there's nothing that prepares you to pursue a career in aviation.
Yes, you're right.
Which is also part of one of the other things we are doing to pioneer capacity building and career development in aviation. Yeah. You know, elsewhere in the world, when you see a young lad, what do you want to be when you grow? I want to be a pilot. I want to be a cabin.
Not in Nigeria.
Not in Nigeria. You know? So people just stumble into that sector. So I stumbled into that sector because I used to be a model. Back in the day, of course, model with Linda Ikeji and the likes of them. Back in the day. And I saw this advert to be a cabin crew. I said, okay, let me just apply. And I applied. I got selected and then I had dreads. Who's going to employ me? But you know, the people that I employed at the time from Virgin Atlantic, they were more exposed. So dreadlock was not, it was something that people prohibited to see here. But of course, people that were interviewing me were not from here. So that's how I got the job. And people were amazed. When I came for the interview, people were saying, this guy must be mad. You know, that time, I don't visit people because the parents will say, who is this mad person?
Because you had dreads on.
Not now that it's fancy, people are wearing dreads, you know, like that. Anyway, so that's how I stumbled into aviation and I became a cabin crew. Later, cut my dreads. They said, no, didn't say you should cut it. I said, well, I just wanted a new look. And so that's how I started. I said, a cabin crew, and then went into publishing because I thought there was so much ignorance in the sector. You see somebody traveling for 20 years, and you tell the person, can you please buckle your seatbelt? And the person say, no, I've been traveling for before you were born. And as simple as safety issue to buckle, and you don't know that, and you've been traveling for 20 years. So there was so much ignorance in the sector. So I started publishing Aviators Africa magazine. Because of my schedule of flying, sometimes you are 30,000 feet, your phone has switched off. Sometimes you're in Ghana or you're in UK, somebody's trying to reach it. It wasn't working. I had to stop flying. And
Were you married? Were you married by then?
No, I wasn't married by then. This was back in 2008, 2009.
Okay.
So I now started Aviators Africa magazine. And then, of course, I thought the sector was also boring. Remember, I was coming from the entertainment sector as a model, doing all that stuff, and to a more regulated environment. I thought it was boring, you know. So when I started the Aviators Night, and I started the concept called Aviotainment, you know, where you just bring aviation knowledge and entertainment together.
Your entertainment has had to just come inside.
You know, so as an entrepreneur and that you like always taking risks, for 4 years I was always in debt trying to push a concept to the sector. Every year though,
how was the reception?
The reception was great, but I just was not getting sponsorship from the sector.
Why do you say that? Because it's still a problem we have now.
Yeah, because they didn't understand what aviotainment was at the time. So aviation is a very serious safety, you know, and someone is coming to bring entertainment. Like, this is not entertainment. We are not here for play. We are like boat and not a plane. And you know,
everything's serious.
You know, so I was talking, how can you be serious 365 days a year? No time for networking, bonding, relaxing.
So
where you get this
the idea of that event
together.
Was more like community, you know, and networking. Exactly. That was totally the idea.
Yeah, that's the idea. But you know, they were not buying any. So I did it for 4 or 5 years. I was always in debt. These guys were not understanding my concept. I got tired. Because every year they will, you know, the first time I did it in 2019, the Speaker of the House, Bankole, came for the event. I brought this, some legislators, you know, because I was looking at the operative, the legislative and the...
the policy-making aspect of it.
Then, of course, important. we have networking and we have entertainment. That was the idea, you know. So I did it at Oriental Hotel in 2019. There was buffet. At that time, was out because, of course, I need to make it premium for people, to the top guys to attend. But at the end of the day, they ended up having to, you know, seize me because I was... owing about 200,000 in 2019 then.
That was plenty money back then.
So somebody had to bail me out. And next day I did another edition. I was in debt. Next time I said, how long will I try to prove it from some point?
People that are already listen.
So I stopped it. And of course, you know, you're always looking for the next thing as somebody that is passionate and entrepreneurship
driven,
you know, in that sector. So then of course I diverted or rearranged that whole concept. Since they're not buying the restructure, since they're not buying into entertainment, and I thought, okay, let me go do aviation conference.
Something that is serious. They want something serious. They don't want the entertainment.
So of course, you know about that. To start an aviation conference, took it out of Nigeria, did it in South Africa back to back and some other countries.
How many years have we done it now?
For 5 years.
5 years.
And of course, we are still in aviation. You know, the tourism side was basically when I was doing Aviators Africa. I got headhunted by an organization called Afro Tourism to become their CEO. So I was with them for 6 months to turn around the company. That's when I now saw another aspect, which is tourism, because I was purely aviation. So after doing that for 6 months, you know, understanding the tourism space, I left them. I came back to Aviators Africa and I thought about, you know, doing something around tourism. And of course, you know, COVID hit, and then of course we came up with another idea, which of course maybe we can talk about
that later. So let's talk about the aviation, the African Aviation Sustainability Conference and Awards. By the way, FYI guys, I've worked with Mr. Tony for like how many years, almost 2+3 years. Right, so I know behind the scenes of most of the things that are happening, but just listen to the gist first. So sir, why did you decide to transit to that? I know that the sustainability was what's made you stand out. That the other aviation events, yeah, and I know that, but I know that it's the sustainability part that made you stand out. Why did you decide to go that route?
So basically for me, of course, there are a lot of conferences in the aviation sector and everybody's talking about commercial, everybody's talking about connectivity, you know, and sustainability is a thing, which has not really caught waves in Africa. But I mean, it's something that is going to, like the meeting I just came out from, that we're talking about the fact that sustainability is not an option, it's a business imperative. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to enshrine sustainability.
Even a small business has to put it in their business.
So basically, that's why I said, okay, nobody's doing that in aviation. And of course, the airline industry contributes about 2% of global CO2 emission, carbon dioxide emission, CO2 emission to the environment. And what are we doing? We are impacting negatively. Every time you travel by air, you're impacting negatively to the environment. And what are you going to do about it? Mm. So I set up Aviation Sustainability African Conference to begin to get the like-minded stakeholders to begin to discuss sustainability and the trends, you know, and how we need to move in that environment, and generally around environment, social and governance, ESG, and sustainable development goals. So that's how I set that up and started moving that. It was also challenging because, again, this was pioneering. Nobody has done it.
Yeah, that's where I want to go to. What were the challenges, or what did you learn from them?
So basically,
it's challenges. And I purposely ask this question, sorry, sir, because I don't want people to feel, everything is rose in the tourism space. It's a lie. Right, there's a behind the scenes, and I want people to learn from this. This is the kind of podcast that I wish I'd listened to when I was starting my own business about 7-8 years ago. So that's why I'm asking that question. So what were the challenges, especially when you're pioneering something that is new in the African space, especially? What were the challenges, and what did you learn from them?
So basically, being an entrepreneur in itself, in any sector in Nigeria, is challenging.
True.
So the way you now bring it down, how do you now, and then you want to pioneer initiative. Mm. Let's say if you want to start a business of pure water, even because some other people have been selling pure water, you starting it is hard on itself because of the operating environment. Then you now have to double down on something that people have not done before.
Mm.
That is even more difficult. So you said aviation, so what is aviation sustainability? Okay, I'm an airline. I just want to get passengers bomb on seat from point A to point B. What have I got to do? I don't want to add an extra cost. You know, so people don't understand that it's not an expense. It's something that just makes your operations more efficient. Imagine, let's bring sustainability to us as individuals. When you're at home, you're not using your electricity or your light bulbs, why not switch it off so I can conserve energy? If you're not using the tap water, why keep running it? Some people don't have water to drink. Some people don't have access to potable water. But you see some people just turn the tap on and be doing and something that water is
wasting
running.
It.
This is waste. Then of course you're talking like about that.
Let me.
So how do you dispose your waste, you know? Recycling is a thing now. So when people go to the market or you go to the mall, there are some things you see that you can use and reuse and recycle. So these are conversation and attitudinal change that we have to begin to have.
Mm.
But like I said, I think I digress. But we are saying that the challenge is people don't understand these things. So we're trying to make them understand that, I beg, let's go to it. People move to a more familiar terrain.
Yeah,
don't
want to go to something. Yeah, do you understand?
So those are the challenges. And of course, trying to get funding and support from organizations. One. Okay, Tony, go and do it first. Let's see how you do. What,
yes, I was. I believe because I was there with you.
You know, do it first and come back. Let's see. Nobody believes in your idea. Nobody believes in what. Okay, let's take a chance with this organization, this person, this idea is brilliant. So that's the peculiar challenge with doing anything new, being an entrepreneur here. So it's not easy. So you have to have that passion. But passion is not enough, because passion, you burn out after a while.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know the why of what you're doing, Mm-hmm. That is what will sustain you beyond the passion, because after a while, the passion will just die.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you. And I know you added the awards to this too. Why awards?
So basically, the award was to also... from my sector, or where the sector where aviation and tourism, let's just broaden it a little bit. People have bastardized that thing, award. When I wanted to start it, somebody said, Tony award.
But it's true, I agree. Because it would mess up.
Why I'm in that space is sometimes you come into a space so that you can correct some things.
Mm.
Okay. So yes, awards are bastardized. People dash them. Friends awards, Dasha awards.
Mm.
But that does not remove the fact that if somebody has done excellently well in a particular, there should be some kind of recognition.
Yes,
there should be some kind of a pat on the back for a job well done. So because somebody has bastardized, it doesn't mean that if Nena is accomplished and should be recognized, I will not, because Mr. A has bastardized it.
Yeah.
So we came into that sector to kind of, you know, to make it better. So we came up with criteria.
What kind of criteria? Can you share the criteria? Why our award is different? And why?
So basically, why it's different is that we put out categories of awards and put out the criteria for people to deserve to be nominated in those categories, mm-hmm. and of course put it out for vote. Okay, and when people vote, when results are coming, we publish the results and the metrics behind how each person was able to come to be a winner. Mm. Everything is transparent, so we release it. So it's not simple. By just organize an award and just tell you, Nena won. How did Nena win?
How can we
trust this win? And of course, people use awards for people to give them money. So Nena, take this award, give me X amount of money. Okay, we don't collect money. We don't do anything. If you merit it, you merit it. Okay. Mm. And so
you have a committee that looks at it.
Exactly. So we have a committee, we have a board that looks at it, which is why we also suffer, because people use award as a fundraising initiative. So they look at,
I think that's why they say it's baptized.
Yeah. So they look at 100 people. If I collect 50,000 naira from each person that I dash this award, that's almost 500,000 naira, you know? So they've just messed it up. So we that are not collecting money, you have to look for ways to source money to do this. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of work, but for you to stand out, you must have to pay a price in some way.
Yeah.
So we set that award to kind of raise the bar, you know, for in a place where it has been bastardized, people dashed everybody out, and it really stood out. And then of course, we make sure that our plaque that we produce is not just anything, there's something you will put on your table and beat.
Tomorrow, when you go and beat food for it.
Yeah, it's triplated. I mean, one of the awards, each one cost us about $100 to make, so it was not cheap. So if we give Nena this award and she puts it on her table, people that come will be proud of her achievement. So, I mean, if we are spending $100 on an award and not collecting anything, can imagine how much we're invested in such an initiative. So basically for us, it was just to kind of structure and take the industry to a better, excellent level where people can aspire to be in and just get the mediocres off the stage.
Okay, that's fine. Can you show two or three categories that are different in the awards that stand out, that when people are like, okay, this is a category that, yes, we should pass this person on the back?
Okay, so when it comes to organization, like a sustainability-driven organization, like an airline, okay, so we don't just say the best airline. Nothing is best. Everybody's a continuous improvement.
True.
So you look at, okay, let's say the best airline in Africa by profitability is Ethiopian Airlines.
Yes.
So, but you can't call Ethiopian Airline the best airline. So when we talk about sustainability, Ethiopia might be big with 150 aircraft, but might not be the sustainable airline. You might see one small airline that has enshrined all these sustainability frameworks in the operations, you know, they're using renewable in their office where you come, they're using solar panels,
yeah.
You know, where you come, they are making sure that they are recycling waste.
Their mission also, they make sure they are
They are reporting their sustainability initiative. That company deserves an award over a company that have 30 planes and 50 planes. So this is how we judge. So you look at the nitty-gritty and look at the criteria really on how you can, you know, say this person or this organization won an award.
I must commend you. I'm not just commending you because I know you and I've worked with you. By the way, guys, that's not the reason. Because like I always say, I always like the fact that you focus on the aviation part and you've actually blended with tourism, which a lot of people are not doing. So I want to say well done for that.
Thank you.
I know that we have a new magazine, Afri Explorer. Those of you on YouTube, you see the book. Very nice. This is the first edition, right? Yeah, awesome. So why did we... I know you used to have another magazine before. What was the name again?
Avetos
Africa. Does that still exist or has it taken over?
No, this can't take over. So Avetos magazine is a niche magazine for aviation. Just like I said, aviation is a little bit rigid. Mm-hmm. But this is a travel and tourism magazine. So tourism affords you the latitude to do a lot of things. So Afri Explorer is exposing the hidden gems of Africa. So what we're trying to do is tell the stories.
Of course, this Amala, guys. Those on YouTube, see Amala.
This is an offshoot from War for Love Africa.
Yeah, so let's go to that. Work for Love Africa. That was our baby. So what's Work for Love Africa initiative and why is it important?
So Work for Love Africa started during COVID. I usually do a 5, sometimes 10K run on Saturdays. So I just was running one morning and I had Work for Love. I had no idea. But, you know, I mean, this is a little bit talking spiritual. You know, when you're in a space where you are looking for solutions, such things will drop, you know, if you are in tune.
Yeah.
So during COVID and everything was shut, of course, aviation industry was the hardest hit. All the places were grounded.
Hospitality, travel,
you know. So I was thinking, as a stakeholder in that sector, in aviation, now I'm not talking about, I'm not saying pharmaceuticals or the pharmacy manufacturing was now, I'm talking about my space. Mm-hmm. So as a stakeholder in my space, how can I contribute to making sure that things get better in COVID? What can I do to help the stakeholder? Everybody's helpless, you know? So that was my mind space. And as I was running, I had Work for Love. And I'm like, what's Work for Love? You know, so I called, of course, you know, a mutual friend, a graphic designer who is Giddy. And I said,
oh, God, Giddy, I hail you.
I got this stuff, Work for Love. Can you give me a graphical representation of what I hear? And by the time he finished and came out with a logo,
it was so beautiful. That logo, anytime people see it, it's so
the
fun.
The idea was just on that logo, you know. So Work for Love was a movement. So had a logo, for those that don't know, I have not seen it. So it has a logo with a foot, a design like Africa. And on top of it, you have 5 foot. So it's like a movement. It's not an event. So we're moving. And then, of course, there is a Love green logo because we have to act in love, be a brother's keeper on the continent. And of course, there's a small plane that's
flying
that
above.
Makes you show that, you know, we're trying to connect the continent. So basically, Work for Love Africa was set up to just look for ways to promote intra-Africa travel, tourism, and trade.
Intra-Africa travel, tourism, and trade.
And of course, our
slogan is... Can you share more on that? Because some people may not know what that means. What's the inter-Africa tourism, travel, and trade? I'm biting my mouth.
So basically, Africa is very fragmented. We are not connected.
When you mean not connected, what do you mean, sir?
When I mean connected by air.
Okay.
You know, by air. So people that want to do business, people that don't want to partner, they have a whole lot of challenges rising from visas, immigration, payment solution, if you have to do
flight costs,
you know, taxes and all that stuff. So what we're talking about when it comes to intra-Africa travel, tourism, and trade is to look at how we can lower all the barriers that affect travel, intra-Africa travel, tourism, and trade. Now, if you notice, we say intra-Africa because we are more focused on traveling Africa.
Africa to Africa.
In case, for those that don't know, it's more expensive to travel within Africa than it is to travel outside Africa.
Like, come on, how?
Okay, so that is bizarre. That is like, and then of course, it's difficult for an African to travel Africa than it is for a non-African to travel Africa. That is crazy.
It's cheaper for them. It's easier for them. Their visas are, to even go to those are my fellow Zimbabwean in South Africa. You know what we went through when we went to Canada? Zimbabwe visa.
So that is unthinkable. That is crazy. That at this time in our lives, we are still talking about, I need a visa to go to
South Africa,
it's only Rwanda that is a test case, which is fantastic. So Rwanda doesn't need the visa to go to Rwanda. You can just pack up your bag and go to Rwanda. But Rwanda is visa free for all African countries. It's a great country and it's leading example. I think that that's what we are pushing for in Work for Love Africa.
Yeah.
That every African country must open their borders.
For the Africans.
For Africans. For us to do business.
Yeah.
Yes, there are those that travel and they are criminals with criminal intentions. Mm-hmm. But our position at Work for Love Africa is that visas does not curb criminal tendencies.
Yeah, nothing does.
You're because
structure,
you find out that when you put visa, you actually bar people that have genuine intention to go and do business. And somehow those corrupt tendencies, those criminal tendencies, they still find their way, even regardless of your visa, still find your way into that country. So visa is not working. But what we are recommending is that lower the visa, at least make it at least visa on arrival. When I arrive your immigration, you stamp me in, take my biometrics, take whatever detailed information you have of me. However, strengthen your immigration reforms to make sure that if Tonu Kachuku enters your city today, you know that I entered. So if I do any pakam, you can pick me.
Yeah.
So rather than say, rest visa, don't come, without data me to come and do legitimate business, how about let me come, take all my biometrics, take all my, I say, Oga, make sure that this business you care for, because if we catch you, you're done for.
Yeah.
So rather than visa, let's strengthen our immigration and security architecture in these countries and let Africans be able to go to African countries to do legitimate business, partner, collaborate, and then, of course, do easy payment system. You know, the borders are easy. It's visa on arrival. I come, you stamp me in, I do my business. That, in at the end of the day, it will grow Africa's GDP. This is what we are saying. Africa can grow more than it is now, so that we don't have to begin to look at the West
for help all the time.
There's so much. They're still waiting there for Sokoto, there for Sokoto. Everything we're looking for is in this Africa.
It is.
But each time we want to jump to America, we want to jump to Europe, we want to jump to Dubai.
Because they have structure. Exactly. But it doesn't mean they don't have their problems.
Yeah, so we need to build ours. So when you ask an African, mention first three cities or country you want to go to, it's never an African country.
Most times.
But we are saying that there's so much on this continent to discover. So I digress, but that's why we now want to start using Africa Explorer to tell the narrative of the stories of the hidden gems
in Africa. Awesome, sir. Awesome. Okay, so let's go to a little more personal things. What are the three things that people don't know about you? I always ask this question. I always put you guys on mark. Three things that people don't know about you.
I like beans. I like eating beans.
Hey, really? I should cook beans for you one day.
That's the best meal, you know. Nice. I can eat beans for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow, I didn't know that part.
Then everybody can face the consequences.
All right, second thing.
Second thing is that I'm not an early riser.
Okay. So you are grouchy in the morning.
Yes. I take my time.
I hope you don't stress your beautiful daughters in the morning. When they come, daddy, you say, no, I'm grouchy.
And of course, I am not religious.
Okay.
I'm more spiritual.
Okay. So you're like more spiritual.
Yeah. Some people don't understand the difference. So it's not like I don't have, like I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I have a religion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I don't do religion.
You do more of connecting with the spirit.
How do you connect with your maker and what you do, not what you think people will see you doing and doing routine? That's religion. Doing routine, going to church on Sunday or praying five times a day as a Muslim, that's religion. You know, I encourage people to be more spiritual and have a relationship with your maker. That's more spiritual. So yeah.
Okay, nice. Okay, so mention two destinations you have say people to travel. One in Nigeria and another one in Africa. Which are the two destinations that you're like your favorite? One in Nigeria, one in Africa.
So in Nigeria, I encourage people to come to my town, which is Uguta. Uguta, we have a beautiful lake called Uguta Lake. It's in Imo State,
mm-hmm.
Southeast Nigeria, Blue Lake. My town is called Blue Lake City.
Ooh.
So we have a Blue Lake.
Nice.
Fantastic place.
I can see inside.
Sorry?
Would I see the fish
inside?
Yes,
you can see fishes inside. There is Blue Lake, yes.
Nice.
In Uguta, Imo State, of course, that's Nigeria. Then, of course, outside Nigeria. I love the city of Cape Town.
I mean, like, if you did not mention South Africa, I'll just call the South African people and say, come on, take away his citizenship. That's Mr. Tony's favorite country. Like, after Nigeria, South Africa, they should give you citizenship. Awesome, sir. So to wrap this up, what advice do you have to those younger ones coming or people just coming to the industry, both aviation and travel and all that, and those of us already in the industry doing our stuff and our veterans, what one advice do you have to each of them?
So basically, for those that are just coming in, you must get mentorship. I didn't get that. I was just dabbling. They just, moku de duam as they go, you know? And it will take you longer time. If I knew what I knew now, it would take me like 5 times to just scale, you know, in business. So if you're starting out, get a mentor.
That's why you do that, your training stuff, right?
Yeah. And when you say mentor, sometimes it must be somebody you go to his or her house every day. There are various ways somebody can mentor you from afar or from near, but most importantly, get a mentor. These people have failed, have done it.
And they've
done it, and whatever it is. So you don't have to make that same mistake that they've made.
Okay.
And then, of course, for those that are already in it, you know, you need to think of how to scale your business. You need to make sure you invest in partnership, right partnership, because of course there are wrong partnerships that can mess you up. So look at how you can partner and scale. You know, scaling in business is very important. There's not much you can do doing a one-man business.
Yes.
So look for partnership, scale your business, and thank God for the internet, thank God for social media. You can be here and have a partner in Russia.
True.
So identify partnership, collaborate, look for how you can scale and be the best you can be.
Awesome. Then for our veterans.
So our veterans, I think they should give back. A lot of veterans don't like giving back. They want, in this part of the world, Nigeria, they want to carry with all the knowledge they have to the grave. It's not fair, you know. I mean, when you get to a particular level in life, you should begin to now, how can I give back? How can I leave a legacy, you know? Not competing and all that. Of course, competition is good, but more of competition. Let us cooperate and compete together so both of us can grow, you know. So that's what I think veterans should do. They should invest more on giving back rather than still competing with young lad and people that are just coming up into the sector.
Yeah, they should be more like godfathers and godmothers to them. Exactly. Any last words, sir, for a wrap up?
So any last words for me would be traveling is not an expense, it's an investment. I encourage everybody to at least once a year look for a destination, whether local or international. Travel, because it just changes your whole psyche.
Exactly. By the way, you owe me an Abuja trip ticket. Let me put it here on the podcast, guys, because I need to go somewhere this year. I've not gone anywhere local. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. All right, everyone. Thank you, and see you in the next edition.
And with that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.